Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, as Christy read earlier in our Old Testament reading from the book of Exodus, God says, "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." This is the Lord's solemn command to his newly redeemed people, who he had just saved by bringing them out of Egypt in slavery. He had given them many other commands, but here he says, above all, the Lord wanted his people to rest from work. Just as the Lord had rested himself on the seventh day from all his works of creation. And by observing this command to rest, do nothing and rest. The Lord said, "I will sanctify you." God also warned the people. He said, "This is what's going to happen to you if you don't rest on the Sabbath. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death." God's command was not to be disobeyed. Why was it so important? Why was God so insistent that his people set aside a holy day for rest? This morning after the early service, somebody came out and said, "Pastor, if you're preaching on Sunday, isn't that work?" I said, "No, that's rest for me too. I get rest from the Lord's word." And I will point out to you, as Paul says, "Have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath? They're doing work and are guiltless." I'm guiltless too. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Okay, that's just an aside for. Why is it so important that God gave us a holy day of rest? Well, you've worked hard. Maybe you've worked hard all week. You need some physical rest, refreshment. This week, I had to stay up all night with someone who needed help. And believe me, I was tired the next day, and I needed physical rest. And I took it, I rested. I got extra sleep. We need physical rest. And so God established this holy day so the people would rest. And that so that God could provide them not just physical rest for their bodies, but spiritual refreshment too. That's what we're going to talk about today. You see, the Sabbath was a time for instruction, a time for the people, the children of Israel, to stop and sit and listen and hear God's words of instruction for them, and his words of hope and promise. Martin Luther wrote a hymn, it's hymn 581 in your hymnal, about the Ten Commandments. And it's really long because there's at least 10 verses, right? There's actually, I think, 13 with an intro and a conclusion. Well, this is what he says about the third commandment. "You shall observe the worship day that peace may fill your home and pray, and put aside the work you do so that God may work in you. Have mercy, Lord." The Sabbath day served another purpose besides just physical rest. Like all the laws that God had given through Moses, the Sabbath law was a guardian until Christ came. Until Christ came and said that we may be justified by faith in Him. The Sabbath law was to teach God's people about the one who was to come, the Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath, as we read in today's gospel reading. Jesus says, "I am the Lord of the Sabbath." You're missing the point if you don't see that. With the coming of Christ in the flesh, the true Sabbath, the true rest, had come. Jesus says, He's fulfilled the Sabbath when He says, "Come to Me, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." By urging those who are weary and heavy laden by sin to find their rest in Him, He's telling us that when all our labor ceases, we find true rest for our souls. And Jesus is our Sabbath rest because He rested on the Sabbath. He fulfilled that law to rest on the Sabbath when He rested in the tomb on the Sabbath day. He said on Good Friday, "It is finished." Just like He said when He had completed on, I guess you'd say, Friday, the sixth day, His gracious work of creation. He completed His gracious work of redemption also on a Friday, Good Friday. "It is finished," He said, "and now He will rest." Jesus' Sabbath in the tomb for you and me, so that on Easter, we too will rise with Him. Now, during Jesus' earthly ministry, He invited many people to come and take their rest in Him. And some came to Christ in faith, and they found rest for their soul. They cast off their burdens, their guilty consciences, to cast off their sorrow over sin and death and all of the consequences of sin, which include death. They cast off their struggles with temptation and with the devil. They took refuge in the mercy and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And they put aside their own works. God doesn't say, "You're going to keep the Sabbath day so that you sanctify yourselves for Me." He does not say that. He says, "You'll keep the Sabbath day so that I will sanctify you. I will make you holy." And He makes you holy through Jesus Christ. Now, there were many who rejected Jesus' invitation too. Many of the Jews at the time did not want to lay aside their own works. And we don't either. We don't want to lay aside what we do. We want it to count for something. "What am I here for, Lord, if it doesn't count for something? What I do doesn't count?" It does not count to make you holy. You are sanctified through Christ and Christ alone. But your works do count for something in Christ. They're for the betterment of everyone around you. They're not for your sake. They're for the sake of the people in your life. Those who think that their own works get them somewhere with God, that their own efforts count for something, that their own keeping of the Sabbath, well, they forget that it points to Christ and His righteousness. And if you carry your own burden, if you insist on carrying your own burden, If you insist on carrying your own guilty conscience, well, then you're stuck with it. If you insist on carrying your own sorrow, well, you're stuck with it. But you don't have to be. Remember to cast your cares and your anxieties on Christ, and you will find rest for your soul. At a time earlier this week when I was so tired, maybe when you were tired too, you go to bed and you get some rest and you feel better. Well, where do you find rest for your soul? You could find rest for your body in bed. Maybe an aspirin if you need it. Where do you find rest for your soul? Only in Christ. In Christ alone. In the forgiveness of sins that He offers you. When He speaks to you in His Word. When He comes to you in His sacrament and offers His body and His blood for you, given and shed for you, as the banner says, given for you. Jesus wants you to find rest for your soul in the only place that it's offered. Not in the pleasures of this world and all the things that we chase after in this world with our own works, our own desires and our own attention, but in Jesus, in His atoning death, in His rest in the tomb, and in His resurrection on the third day. He just wants you to lay down your load of sin, rest from your works. So He gave you a supper, a rest stop for all of you sojourners. Every Sunday when you come to the Lord's table, weak and heavy laden, burdened by sin, and in need of spiritual rest and refreshment, you have multiple transgressions against the Lord. He knows it. And He also knows that your load is too heavy for you to bear alone. So Jesus says, come to me. Come and eat and drink, eat my body and drink my blood. And you will find rest and refreshment for your soul. Jesus' presence is not something that just happens in our thoughts and in our feelings. Although it does come there. But He also comes to you in something that you can feel, something that you can taste, something that you hear and see in the physical presence of His body and blood given for you, so that you know that it is for you, that His forgiveness is for you. It's in your mouth. His words of promise are in your ears, saying, you are the one I love. You are the one I forgive. You are the one I give myself for. So that you can lay down your burden and rest in me. This same Lord whose words are recorded for us in the Gospel comes to us each week in the divine service. And He invites us, He invites you to come and receive your rest. The children of Israel were not to wander forever in the wilderness. They were pressing on towards a goal. They were pressing on to the promised land. The land that God had promised for them forever. a land flowing with milk and honey. And each Sabbath, each seventh day, was a rest stop for them on the way. Today, you and I, and the whole church, are also pressing on to a goal. A goal where we receive our final rest in Christ, where we finally will lay down all our burdens and rest in Him. And it's an active rest. It's a rest where you feel invigorated and refreshed and ready to go and do everything that God has prepared for you in His creation. That's what you have to look forward to. And on the way, as you're struggling through this life and all that the world throws at you, and all that you throw at yourself, God comes to you and says, I've got a rest stop for you. You don't have to go the whole way alone. You don't have to carry it all by yourself. I've got a rest stop for you. And it's right here, where you receive your rest. A perfect rest. A perfect refreshment. A refreshment for your soul. And we are reminded of our final rest. Our rest with Christ in glory. Where He will come again and receive you and me and all believers for the final meal. A continuing meal that never ends, where we are constantly and perfectly at rest and refreshed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses